This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show, episode number 759. This is your host, Jason Hartman. Thank you so much for joining me today. Listeners from around the world in 164 countries, we're glad and grateful that you are with us and that you are spreading the good word about the show, where we endeavor to keep you up to date on the latest and greatest in the real estate investing field. So today, I want to talk to you about a couple of things, and it will just be yours truly with you here today, and one, if not two, videos that I'm going to play the audio track from that I think will be very interesting and educational. And since the big election here in the U.S., which was really an historic election by any sense of the word, and I'm not making a value judgment, good or bad, on that. I'm just saying it was historic. But I have been interviewing people like crazy, two of them today, one yesterday. All of these episodes will be coming up for you on the show in the future. Experts from real estate, economics, institutional real estate, you know, the big guys that are playing the big, big game with insurance companies and super, super high-end properties and so forth, and getting their opinions on what a Trump administration and a new Congress means to us as investors, what it means to the real estate market, what it means to the economy overall. And I can tell you that it is pretty much in line with my thinking that a Trump administration means some inflationary pressure. Now, it's interesting to look at this because normally one would say that a Democratic administration is inflationary because Democrats tend to spend more and create more debt and more spending, and that is inflationary. And I agree with that. That is certainly true. There's no question that over time, debt has to be inflationary. And we have been somehow defying gravity in the U.S. for a while, where that rule hasn't really seemed to come home to roost, if you will. However, the interesting thing about Trump is, first of all, nobody really knows him that well, in terms of how he would govern. We certainly know him from his celebrity and his books and his Apprentice TV show and his bombastic, really ridiculous remarks and, you know, the way he plays the media and so forth. We all know him that way, and we've known him for decades that way. But what we don't know is how he'll govern. People say he's a spender, that he's going to spend a lot. He's got this trillion-dollar infrastructure initiative that he's talking about. That would be inflationary on a couple sides of it. Number one, it creates more debt, but number two, it creates more jobs, right? Initially, it creates jobs. And if there are more people employed at higher wages, well, those wages trickle through the economy and those people spend. And the classic definition of inflation is a higher supply of dollars, or any unit of currency, really. Doesn't have to be a dollar. Could be a euro, could be anything. Could be a Swiss franc, could be a Japanese yen, doesn't matter. But any unit of currency, when you have more of those chasing a limited supply of goods and services, and that begs the question, is the supply of goods and services ever limited? Well, of course it isn't. But initially there are constraints. There are certainly constraints on natural resources and things like that, right? So we know that. And the supply initially, until the manufacturers of goods and services, until they ramp up and find a way to provide more goods and services, that is the inflection point where you get inflationary pressure. But the interesting thing about a Trump administration is that regardless of the debt, and regardless of the jobs, now, certainly Obama and Bush put us into lots and lots of debt. No one would deny that. But regardless of those classical things that would be considered inflationary, the wild card here is something we haven't had in a long time, and that is a protectionist trade policy. And I've talked about that on prior episodes, of course, and that will create inflationary pressure, of course, because if we institute tariffs, and those don't have to be direct tariffs, by the way. You know, you can institute things in all sorts of subtle ways that constrain supply or makes overseas manufacturers and companies pay a premium to access the U.S. market, right? The biggest economy in the world is, of course, the U.S. economy. Admittedly, built on a house of cards, but, you know, frankly, so is every other economy in the world. So it's you know, apples to apples, largely, not completely, but largely it is. And so as you see this happen, that would increase the price of your next gadget, right? Your clothing. I am constantly amazed, really, at how cheap everything is compared to what it cost in the 80s and the 90s and even the early 2000s. As globalization has occurred, the price of everything has just plummeted. It is plummeted. And, you know, I'm pretty much a free market guy, but when you have trade agreements, and trade is a super complicated part of the economy, understand that for sure. And I do not want to hold myself out as any sort of expert on this, because it is very complicated. The current accounts scenario between countries is a really, really complex, very multifaceted issue. But you can't really have free trade when you have a very, very unlevel playing field. So in the U.S., when companies have to abide by massive regulatory burdens, whether they be OSHA, minimum wage, a whole host of labor laws, things get complicated. And is it fair to just have completely open borders, as far as trade goes, with countries like Mexico and China and Vietnam and whomever else? You know, just name them. It doesn't matter, right? Because virtually all of these countries, except the Western European countries, have very low regulatory burdens compared to U.S. companies. And so that is the question. It begs the question of, can that ever be fair and equal? Well, certainly it could if those countries evolve and create a more regulated environment in their own homes, where they have higher minimum wages and stricter labor laws and stricter environmental laws. I didn't even mention environmental laws. Of course, that's a huge factor. When all of these things come into play, well, then you could have completely open trade with no restrictions, right? Because in theory, everybody would be on a level playing field. But we're so far away from that that it's just, you know, I don't think all these free trade people, you know, that's not free trade, because the playing field is not the least bit level. It's not even close to level. So, interesting thing in Business Insider, an interesting article here I just want to share with you. And it's about how much is $1 million? And if we are going to see more inflation, which I think is entirely possible, it's pretty interesting. It says $1 million will be worth a lot less in the future. And this is a Visual Capitalist article. And I believe we had the founder or one of the people from Visual Capitalist on the show. They do all sorts of really cool infographics, and you can subscribe, and I used to subscribe and get their email every morning with a new infographic, and it was pretty interesting. So this one is really about inflation because it says, how much is $1 million? Is it enough to last a lifetime? And here's a couple interesting things to take a look at, right? Did you know that 1 million inches is only 15.7 miles? $1 million worth of $100 bills, how much does that weigh? Well, it weighs 22 pounds. 1 million seconds, 1 1,000, 2 1,000, 1 million of those is 11 days, okay? And 1 million minutes is 1.9 years. And 1 million grains of salt is a gallon. It'll fit in a 1 gallon jug. Okay, and as you probably know, a gallon, when it's liquid, or at least when it's water, because I guess liquids do have different actual weights, is just over 8 pounds, right? Or no, it's 128 ounces. That'd be exactly 8 pounds, I think, right? So that is a reference point. Well, millennials, okay, so we look at the millennial population, the largest demographic cohort in American history, and we look at them, and on this Visual Capitalist chart, it says, for millennials who have an estimated 40 years until retirement, which, by the way, all of that's going to change. We all know that's going to change, right? But this is, you know, in the typical old-fashioned view of things. Is $1 million enough to retire? Well, if inflation averages just 3% a year, $1 million will have the same spending power as $306,000 today. So it will be hacked down to less than one-third of what it is now. And the likelihood is real inflation will be a lot higher than 3%. Okay, 9% of the households in the U.S. are millionaires. Now, that's households, not people, by the way. It's household wealth, not per person, per capita. Okay, and 70% of millionaires will lose their wealth by the second generation, and 90% will lose it by the third generation. So just some interesting little pieces of trivia here. Let me give you a couple more from this fantastic Visual Capitalist chart that's in the Business Insider article. 60% of individuals with over $1.5 million saved envision working in some form for as long as they can. Well, I think that's a good thing. You know, I'm a big proponent of working. You know, I'm not interested in retiring. I think working is good for us. Now, it would be nice if we can choose to work and we can choose what we want to do and we don't have to have a dreadful, terrible job. I'm assuming that when I say that, of course. So just some interesting things here. To have the purchasing power of a millionaire from the 1900s, okay, get this. This just shows you what the Federal Reserve and the government has done to the value of our dollar, right? Because here it is. This one's a big one. To have that purchasing power of a millionaire from the 1900s, you would need to have nearly $30 million in today's dollars. $30 million, right? And to have the same impact or influence on the economy as a millionaire from the 1900s, you'd need closer to $100 million in today's dollars. Now, I'm not exactly sure why they're, well, let me see. Purchasing power was the first one. That was $30 million. And then to have the impact or influence on the economy, $100 million. I'm not exactly sure why that's, I'd have to think about that one. But interesting stuff, interesting stuff. So, in other words, plan for your future. That is the takeaway here. Plan for your future, and you have got to do planning, and you have got to invest, because the big problem that so many of us will have, and it's a good problem to have, is problems go. This is a problem you want to have, right? But here it is. It is a problem nonetheless. It's called too much life left at the end of the money. Too much life left at the end of the money. So we've got to plan for longevity. And hopefully you're listening to my longevity and biohacking show, and you're thinking about living longer, and you're also thinking about the widespread implications this will have on society and the economy as a whole. Which, by the way, I want to mention to you that there is, it's about a 95% chance, by the way, that this weekend, coming up in Phoenix for the Venture Alliance, we will have none other than Mr. Ken McElroy joining us to speak to our very intimate small group for about an hour or so. Ken McElroy, as you may know, is the author of a few of the Rich Dad books, the Rich Dad Advisor books with Robert Kiyosaki. His books are fantastic. He's just a fantastic guy. I've been with him at several events. He is about a 95% chance that we're going to see him this weekend. He's going to come by and talk to our intimate group. So join us as a guest for the Venture Alliance this weekend in Phoenix. It starts Friday evening at 7 p.m. And we go through Sunday at about 5 p.m., and it's just going to be a fantastic weekend. You can go to VentureAllianceMastermind.com to learn more about the Venture Alliance, and you can also go to JasonHartman.com and click on Events, where you'll see, of course, Meet the Masters of Income Property coming up in Irvine, California in January. Still have early bird pricing for that. And Venture Alliance one-time guest event ticket is on that same page. So you can join us as a one-time guest. Meet Ken. We're also working on getting Tom Wheelwright there, author of Tax-Free Wealth. He's been on the show before. Ken's been on the show before. And these guys have some great information to share. And of course, we have confirmed Charles Goyette, who was on the show recently, talking about what Trump means for investors and the world. So we're going to have a fantastic weekend this weekend. Join us. I know it's short notice, but hey, you know, do it. Just join us. Go and register, buy yourself a guest ticket, and join us. And if you decide to join the Venture Alliance Mastermind, we will apply your guest ticket cost to your annual membership. So this is if you really want to take your investing, your business to the next level, the Venture Alliance, a great mastermind group to help you do that. Now, many of you have asked, of course, over the years about my litigation in Kansas City, and I told you about that recently. I talked a little bit about it on a prior show, and I just thought I would take you back to where it all began. Now, about 6 years ago, well, really 7 years ago, I felt that this property manager, Results Property Management, and its owners, Ken Logan and Quentin Carney, you know, I just thought they had their hand in the cookie jar, and they were taking my money. And over the years, I've had a few different people approach me and say that they're doing the same things there. And I published 3 podcast episodes on my AIPIS show, and that's AIPIS.org, and I think .com too, either one, or you can find iTunes, etc. And that show has well over 100 episodes, but 3 of those episodes, which the Judge W. Brent Powell, Judge Powell, who I have never met, who is talking to the prior judge, Judge Atwell, Charles E. Atwell, who has since retired, who was overseeing this case years ago. He's talking with him. And I'm told that that is not cool. He should not be getting advice from the prior judge. And this is what my lawyers tell me. So I'm getting pretty bummed out about the way this thing is going. They have somehow made the case about everything except the actual case. This is an incredibly simple case. When I play this video for you, the soundtrack from it, you will hear how incredibly simple this case is. I, in 6 years, have not been able to get the other side to produce simple invoices for repairs. And as a consumer advocate, I feel that it is my duty to talk about this, to teach people to share the lesson I have learned about this, and to hopefully stop it from happening. So a lot going on here. You know, my First Amendment rights, I think, have been unfairly limited because this judge has made me de-index these podcast episodes from Google. So nobody can find them. And these are other victims of results property management that I interviewed on my show. I mean, they came forward and I heard their story and interviewed them, and they are telling their story, not my story, their story. And that freedom, that First Amendment freedom, freedom of the press, freedom of the media, has been obscured at least for several months now. So hopefully that will change. But I'm looking for resources. If any of you out there have resources or suggestions or can help on this case, we don't have too many lawyers as clients. We have lots of engineers, but not a lot of lawyers as clients. We do have some out there. But if you have any thoughts on this, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. Please reach out to me. Take a listen to this video that I published about 6 years ago, a little over 6 years ago, and I think you'll find it to be enlightening. Now, let me also tee this up by saying one more thing. Look, I talk a lot about commandment number three. What is commandment number three of my 10 commandments of successful investing? It is, thou shalt maintain control. Thou shalt maintain control. And the reason you want to maintain control and invest in income property, the most historically proven asset class in the world, in my humble opinion, is because if you don't, if you relinquish control, when you relinquish control to a Wall Street banker, a fund manager managing a mutual fund, someone managing an LLC on a deal, you know, the CEO of Enron, whatever it is, right? To Bernie Madoff, it could be anything, right? You leave yourself susceptible to three major problems. The number one problem, you might be investing with a crook. The number two problem, you might be investing with an idiot. And either way, through their crookery or their incompetence, you could lose money. So assuming they're honest and competent, the third problem when you relinquish control and don't follow commandment number three is that they take a huge management fee off the top for managing the deal. So all of my complaints about property managers over the years, about this company, Results Property Management, and its principals. Rumor has it that they've sold the company. So I don't know. I've not confirmed that yet. But this is, Ken Logan and Quentin Carney here that I'm talking about. My complaints about them are minor compared to my complaints about Wall Street. What your property manager can do to hurt you and reduce the returns on your investment, it's fairly minor in the overall scheme of things compared to relinquishing control in some sort of stock investment, a Wall Street type investment, a pooled money investment. That is a much bigger risk, a more risky endeavor. I did invite them on the show, by the way. They never accepted my invitation. They've made the case about everything but the case. And it is mind-boggling to me how in our legal system, the truth just gets so massively obscured. The truth on this case is incredibly simple. I want copies of the invoices to prove that the repairs were done. And I also want to know that the repairs were actually necessary, these maintenance costs. In 6+ years now, I have not been able to get that. My lawyers have not filed any motions to compel. It is just mind-boggling to me that you can go into court and the truth is just completely obscured. This is so, it's insanely simple, this case. Yet, they've made it about everything but the actual case. They're, you know, we're not litigating over the actual case at all, it seems. We're just litigating over a bunch of irrelevant ancillary issues. So here's the video. See what you think. I'd love to hear from you. Remember, I am a consumer advocate. I'm in this industry to make it better, to help our clients, to just make sure that the lessons I learn are shared with you. So here's that video. Go check out VentureAllianceMastermind.com. and jasonhartman.com. A lot of you have registered for our Meet the Masters event coming up in January in Irvine, California. So those tickets are selling really fast. But this weekend, I know, short notice, Venture Alliance Mastermind. It's going to be a great weekend. So if a couple of you want to grab guest tickets, I know it's short notice, but hey, join us. We'd love to see you there. And here is the audio track from that video that I created about 6 years ago. Purpose of this video is to help you spot a property management ripoff. Is Quentin Carney of Results Property Management running a scam? Hello, the purpose of this video is to talk about what I believe to be a property management ripoff. Now, that's open to debate and discussion, but in my experience, I think this is a property management scam. So my name is Jason Hartman. I am president of Platinum Properties Investor Network Incorporated. We're based in Orange County, California, and this is Karen Nicholas. Karen was our operations manager for many years and would also manage my managers in my portfolio. So she did all of the bookkeeping and stuff like that and is familiar with what went on here. So I wanted to talk to you about this. But before we get into the actual situation, which I believe to be a ripoff, okay, I want to show you that I have been threatened with a lawsuit from the person we are going to talk about, Quentin Carney's attorney. Quentin is the owner of Results Property Management, Metrowide Building, and I believe he calls his real estate company Results Real Estate, if I'm not mistaken. And his lawyer, Nicholas Porto, has sent me a letter threatening to sue me if I release a video saying that there are many inaccuracies. Now, I did not release the video so far, and I asked him to be specific about what the inaccuracies are, saying that I would be happy to edit them if there are any mistakes, and I sent them a private link where they could in advance look at the video and correct any wrongful statements that I might have made. So far, they have not responded. It's been several days. I said I would release the video. I still didn't do it. I've given them ample chance to respond. I have sent him numerous emails. I even took the email and I faxed the email to him saying, you know, tell me what's wrong with the video and we'll make the changes before it's released. But look at, on the Creating Wealth Show, my very successful podcast that I've been doing for many years, we talk about these property management situations and our goal is to protect the consumer, to protect you, our potential client, and other people who might be hit with some kind of scam or wrongful thing. Now, it's a holiday, and the office is actually closed. The building is closed. The air conditioning is off, so Karen and I are kind of casual here today, just working on a few things. Yeah, I know. It's a little warm in here, isn't it? But anyway, so where do we start on this, Karen? Results Property Management is the name of the company, and then Quentin owns a building maintenance company called Metrowide Building. Okay, Metrowide Building is here. Let me figure out how to hold this. You see Metrowide Building, okay? That's his maintenance company. Now, this maintenance company, I believe it's a shell company because this company has, according to the people that are, you know, not really involved, I don't want to say they're involved because they're not involved, but it has no employees and It's just amazing. I don't even understand what's going on here, but I started to get upset because on this fourplex that I own that is managed by Quentin and his companies, you see here that they have charged me over almost $1,300 here for a property, of maintenance of a property that is about a year and a half, maybe 2 years old now. I mean, this is not an old property, okay? And these bills started getting just completely ridiculous. Here's a bill to repair a garbage disposal. It's a service call. It's $60 they want to be paid here, or they deducted from my check. You notice it's not signed by the tenant. It's not signed by the technician. There's no detail to this bill. This is how a real property manager would bill you. They would send you details. See here from Home Depot is the receipt. And here is a copy of the labor bill, and you can see the contractors that it was written to. Here's another one, okay? Here's a plumbing contractor for a different property I have in Alabama. And here you see their bill. You see that the bill is signed by the appropriate parties, the person who received the work, and the person who did the work, okay? Let's just talk about some of these ridiculous bills here. In my opinion, they're ridiculous. Here's an HVA service bill, HVAC service bill, the air conditioning, all right? And this is $146 deducted from my check by Metrowide Building. When I inquired of Metrowide Building as to who did the work, does Metrowide Building have their own employees? Well, apparently not. Well, who's the subcontractor? Oh, we sub out all the work. I talked to Pat, who is the maintenance director for Metro for Results Property Management, and according to him, he does not receive a paycheck from Metrowide Building. And according to him, Metrowide Building has no employees. It just seems like a total shell company to me. And he said when he was really pressed, and I asked him over and over, who did the work on this? He said, well, I think Al did the work. And Al is a solo guy without a last name, no company name. And I said, well, let me see the bill from Al. Let me see the check you wrote to Al. Let me see the canceled check. Couldn't come up with anything, had no answer. They finally got frustrated with all my requests to see detail, which they've never provided any detail whatsoever. Here, another unsigned invoice, just printed right out of his computer, out of his laser printer. And Pat, the maintenance director, said he's pretty sure that Al, the solo guy, did this work as well. But he's not sure, but he supervises the work, mind you. So finally, they sent me a refund check for part of the money, rather than sending the detail, they just sent a refund check for part of it. Now, I want the rest of this, what I believe to be fraudulent work, refunded to me, and I want it refunded to our clients. Well, I don't know that they've done it to our clients, but I want a full accounting. No documents have ever been provided. They have not responded to any of my emails. Their lawyer has not responded. Quentin has not responded. Elena, his office manager, has not responded. This, to me, seems like a completely wrong situation here. Karen, what else do you have?
I have one comment here is because we have treat carpet for odor, okay? Yeah. On June 23rd, I have a bill here that says $95 to treat carpet for odor.
This is for pet odor. Now, this is something the tenant should have paid for, first of all. Assuming there's enough money in their security deposit, they should have paid for it. But again, nobody knows if this work was really done because nobody has signed this. No, when I ask them, they can't tell me who did the work. They don't know. Somehow, mysteriously, someone did all this work. They billed me for it, but yet they have no bill from any subcontractor. They have no receipt. They have no canceled check, and they don't know who did the work. It's crazy.
Well, the thing that gets me on this one is this one was dated June 23rd. This one here is for another unit within the fourplex, and it's $100 dated June 15th.
So it's $5 difference for...
From June 15th to June 23rd for treating carpet odor. So
crazy.
There's got to be some consistencies in there.
Here's the other thing that really concerns me about Quentin Carney. Sorry, I keep mispronouncing his name. I think Quentin Carney is probably also running the same scenario with the Homeowners Association. He appears to be managing the Homeowners Association for this area of duplexes, fourplexes, and condos. And he will not provide any documents. I sent a letter to him, to Elena, his office manager for the property management company, and to his attorney requesting a full package for the Homeowners Association. Now, they deduct and they charge dues for all of these homeowners, yet they will not provide any copy of the CC&Rs, the minutes of the Homeowners Association meetings, the names of the people on the board of directors, and the budget for that association. Okay? All of this I have the right to as a member of this homeowners association, and so does every owner. And so far, I've been, you know, totally stonewalled. They have not responded. Also, I have offered Quentin the opportunity to come on the show and dispute and refute any false claims, and he has ignored it. He has not responded. I said, you know, come on. If you think we're saying something untrue, come on here and correct it. Make a rebuttal. I'll give you the opportunity. He's totally declined any comment and ignored any request for an interview.
Yeah, the only thing we received from him is the notice from his attorney.
Yep. So, saying that there are numerous inaccuracies, but his attorney, Nicholas Porto, has never bothered to respond to any of my requests by fax, by email. He has not responded to any of them saying,
Be specific. Tell us what the inaccuracies are, and we will change them, and we will address them. So, look, you know, you've had your chance. We're going to release this. It's going to be on the show. It's going to be out there for people to see because we don't want our clients to get burned. I want an accounting. I want receipts. I want canceled checks, or I want my money back. And I want the same for all of our clients.
And just one other thing in closing is when you have a multi-unit property, make sure that your property management statements are one statement per unit because they can be convoluted in trying to decipher what documents, what line items go to which unit. They can be numerous, and then they have highlights and notes written at the bottom by
the
property manager. It's
complicated.
Yeah. So anyway, there you go.
So this is Kansas City, Missouri. That's the area where Results Property Management is located. Lee's Summit, Missouri, sorry, it'd be more specific. Kansas City area, Blue Springs, Lee's Summit. But Kansas City is the greater metro area. And folks, I've been talking a lot on the show at jasonhartman.com, on iTunes, on my Creating Wealth Show podcast about the self-management revolution. Now, I have some very good property managers, and I own properties in several states all around the country. And, you know, not all property managers are doing stuff like this, but I believe this guy is, and he has not been accountable at all. He has not responded to any of our requests for any accountability. Quentin Carney, come on the show. I have invited you. I have given you the opportunity. We want to hear what you have to say. We want you to be specific. We want you to provide some real accountability because I think that people are just being scammed. Okay, so here's your chance. Come on the show. You can come on later. You can come on at any time, and we'll hear what you have to say. I look forward to it. And everybody, income property is the best investment in America, but you got to keep on it. And when there are situations like this, we want to expose them because we want to make sure that you have control of your investments and your property managers. Again, this is relatively small potatoes compared to what goes on Wall Street and all of the big bonuses being paid and all of the ripoffs there. But again, you know, $100 here, $200 there, you know, after a while it adds up and it really changes the complexion of your investment. All right, happy investing. Learn more at jasonhartman.com and contact us if you have any questions. And Quentin, come on the show. Let's hear what you have to say and be accountable.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.